I'm going to record right now. Somebody needs a meeting link. Let me send that. Nixie, would you mind sending Len Resto the meeting link? He can't find it. Thank you. So thank you everyone so much for joining us today. Everyone, if you could just make sure that you're muted. So thank you all so much. If you wouldn't mind just in the chat writing your name and what sector you're representing, that would be great. I will start off by saying probably July will be our last virtual meeting, and then we'll be moving back to in-person meetings for, I think, we'll have to verify with Mac and Masa, but probably in-person for our combined August meeting. And then definitely back in person starting in September for MCC meetings. So looking forward to finally seeing you all in person. Locations to be determined, but we'll make sure that you have all of that information in advance. So I'm going to just start and talk about some of our initiatives that we have going on right now. And then we'll go into a report from Nixie on social media and community engagement and projects that she's working on. And then maybe what we'll do is we will hear from the sectors that we have in attendance, which is a little switch up to the agenda. We'll hear from the sectors that we have in attendance because I know some people can't stay for very long today. And then we'll go into our summer planning portion of the meeting. So this will be sort of a working meeting. I have a presentation just to kind of go through kind of the progress that we've made so far and the things that we still need to work on for the remainder of this grant year. But that'll come towards the end of the meeting. So just to get us started, some things that we have coming up in the next few weeks. We have Sticker Shock with Mac coming up in June in the next couple of weeks. We plan to go to the liquor stores next week to confirm attendance or confirm participation in the township and the borough. We haven't reached out to Madison yet to see if they want to participate as well. Frank, I know summer is a little bit more challenging. You guys do such a great job for Super Bowl weekend, and you have the softball team for that. You guys don't typically do it in the summer, also, do you?
I wouldn't go in there and do it again. I got to be honest with you. I think once is more than enough.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So we will be creating a doodle poll once we confirm with Chatham what the dates are. But most likely it'll be either June 29th or June 30th, and then July 1st or July 2nd, two of those days. And what we typically do is offer a late morning session to volunteer, and then also a early evening, late afternoon session on the next day so that everyone has an opportunity to volunteer if you're able. So that will be the week of June, that'll be next week, the week of June 29th. Another thing that we're working on is a cannabis presentation. So talking with other coalitions that have had Legal One do presentations for them. I have a call on tomorrow, actually, with the director, with David Nash. He is the director of legal education and the director of Legal One, which is law, ethics, governance for all leaders. So he focuses on new and emerging issues around cannabis. So we're looking to get some more information about how they can tailor a training presentation to our prevention group. But then also we had the schools reach out and ask for some professional development, to focus on cannabis education for the health and PE teachers. So we will be looking to provide that to Chatham in August before students are back. So Legal One is a really, really reputable, very, very good group that sort of demystifies some of the legality behind everything that's going on with cannabis. So I've sat through three of their presentations so far, and they're really, really good. So we'll look to get some more information about that, but I'll share after the meeting on Wednesday. moving forward, our team task force, hopefully you all saw our social media blitz last week that really focused on our team task force. excuse me. Thanks again to Len for that amazing proclamation. They were, our kids, our three graduating seniors were obviously so proud of it. They really enjoyed, you know, being able to speak and to hear the reading of the proclamation, just speaking to them afterwards, they it was so special to them. So thank you so much.
I can tell you that I was not that smart at their age. They are really well-spoken. They really make Chatham proud.
Yeah, they're great. We're gonna, Kiana and I met with them, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, they wrote a letter to the editor, which I'll talk about in a second. And it was just fun seeing them. And, you know, we were looking at pictures from when they were, they were freshmen, and they've come a long way. So, you know, just reminiscing about all of the things that they've done over the past 4 years. We've recruited a few new kids in the past couple of weeks. So excited about that, to keep moving forward with that. And it's nice to know that the teen task force isn't going to end with the graduation of our charter members. So that's really exciting. They did write a letter to the editor that's going to be published in the Courier and the Eagle this week. I think it comes out on Thursday. And they wrote it from their perspective, talking about social hosting. A lot of you might remember the podcast, our first podcast episode that we did back in December of 2019. They talked about how, you know, they had friends whose parents provided alcohol in social settings, and how they really, you know, were not comfortable with that. So they just did a really great letter that highlights some tips that they have for parents on what parents can do to keep their kids safe. And we really, Kiana and I really let them, you know, it was a little tough at the beginning brainstorming, but they did a really, really good job. So to look out for that on Thursday in the Courier and the Eagle. Let's see, what else?
I'm sorry, quick question for you. I know Dennis got admitted to the Naval Academy. The other two, Casey and Ben, are they gonna be going away to school as well, or are they local, or?
Yeah, so Casey O'Reilly is going to University of Georgia, and Ben Goldfield is going to Syracuse, who Kiana, he talked about Syracuse from when he was, a freshman or a sophomore?
Yeah. Right? Okay. So we can't steal their services locally.
Yeah.
All right. So much for that idea.
Yeah, he's very interested in communications, Ben, so he's very excited. And then, as Len said, Dennis was, as he mentioned in his video that we watched at our last meeting, he was going to be attending the Worcester Polytech Institute. And then about an hour after the borough council meeting last week, he emailed me and let me know that he had been given a, what's it called? He was admitted to the Naval Academy. So he's going to be attending the Naval Academy in the fall, which he's very excited about. His dad went, I think his grandfather went as well. So so that was a late development, but we're very happy for him. So that's great. Moving forward. Oh, and you can watch the proclamation on our social media. It's on our website as well. You can watch the reading of that there. Moving on to Narcan. So I think I mentioned this in our last meeting. In 2019, winter of 2019, we worked with the Y and Rutgers University to have a Narcan training predominantly for Y staff. Gwen organized that when I was on maternity leave, and somebody came to Kathy and let her know that the Narcan had expired just a few weeks or a couple months ago now, I guess. So we reached back out to Rutgers, and they have replaced all of the Narcan, you know, at no cost. They replaced it, which is great. And we'll be distributing that to certain program areas with the Y reopening these program areas. It's important that we have it restocked in those areas. We had a request from someone from the Chatham Emergency Squad asking to have the expired Narcan to use for training purposes. And in conversation with the person that I've been communicating with at Rutgers, you know, she let me know, obviously it's not a good idea for anyone to have expired Narcan on hand. Just it's not, you know, it's not effective beyond a certain date. But also for a training purpose, once you press the plunger down, you can't use it again. So even for a training purpose, it's a nasal spray. So even for training purposes, it's really not a very good bet. But what I did was I was able to reach out to Adapt Pharma, who produces Narcan, and they actually make trainer plungers. So little trainer nasal sprays. So we have we've requested 10 of those. They should be coming in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be able to give those to Chatham Emergency Squad to use on trainees as they come in, so that they're not continuously doing Narcan trainings. So, you know, somebody will be able to train using the trainer kit. So with that, we'd like to do, you know, we might want to have the EMTs come in and do our sector spotlight maybe for July or later on. You know, they were supposed to be our last sector spotlight in March of 2020 before we had to cancel that meeting. We had them lined up and then we just haven't been able to get them back with schedules and everything. So it will be great to bring them back in and to kind of hear their perspective on things and the calls, you know, that they're going on right now. So we'll wait for those kits to come in. Lastly, hidden in plain sight. So a lot of you know we've done hidden in plain sight the past few years. We had to take last year off. Actually, no, we didn't take last year off. We had hidden in plain sight in January of 2020 at Chatham High School. Prior to that, we held it in September of 2018 at the Y in the Teen Center. And we moved it to the high school because we were very tight in that space. We had 50 people attend. So we wanted to include schools and move it to the high school. I reached out to the DEA agent that has done the presentation for the past 2 years for us, Tim McMahon, just to ask if it's something that they're still doing. And he's very excited to start the program up again. So we will be we'll be hosting it in Madison this year with support definitely from MASA, hopefully with MAC as well, to invite school, you know, to have it be a joint program with schools that they'll publicize on their end. We'll be able to give out information, have some tables, hopefully, as well. So Hidden in Plain Sight is a fantastic program for anyone that doesn't know. The DEA agent goes through a drug trends training for the first portion of the meeting of the presentation, and then for the second half he sets up a mock teenager's bedroom and then walks parents through different potential hiding spots for drugs and alcohol. Really great presentation. It's very interactive. We also partner with our local law enforcement, so for the first 2 years that we did it, we had involvement from Chatham Township, Chatham Borough, and Madison Police. And so far we have Madison signed on for sure. We still have to reach out to Chatham Borough and Chatham Township. And it's great because they're able to speak to the local conditions for that presentation. So the DEA agent sort of picks it for them when a parent, you know, when the DEA agent talks about ecstasy or meth or something like that. And parents always say, well, that's not in these towns. The local law enforcement is able to say, well, actually, you know, this is what we deal with here. So it's really great to bring their perspective as well. So that's all that I have for right now. I'm gonna kick it over to Nixie. And then when I go into our summer planning later on, we'll talk about some more of our initiatives that we have planned for the next few months. But does anyone have any questions on anything that I went over before we move on to Nixie?
Allison, what was the date then?
Can't hear you. You're breaking up.
We don't have dates confirmed yet, but we are we're hoping for the second half of September. We want to get it in this grant year, so by September 29th. But it'll be between September 15th and September 30th. We're just waiting to hear from the schools on their back to school night schedules and things like that, so that we're not interfering with any of that.
Hey, Allison, just a quick question on the resolution. Did you get the copy of the parchment resolution?
I haven't been to the Y. Did it go there? Do you know?
Well, I think it was mailed there. If you didn't get it, let me know.
Okay, I'll be there.
I want to make sure the students get it.
Sure, I'll be there tomorrow, so I'll let you know. after.
The window of time, September 15th to the 30th, isn't that when Fishawak is? Could the hidden in plain sight setup be at Fishawak?
It does take a lot of space. Like they use at the high school, they used, you know, half that stage. So I don't know if that would be, I don't know if it would work in that setting, depending on how many other vendors are there.
Yeah. And Fishawak is going to get pushed back a week.
Oh, is it?
Because it was conflicting with the Out of the Darkness Suicide Prevention Walk, and the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention raised a big to-do about it. And, you know, and that's the chances you take when you do stuff in September is like there's so many things going on. And Fishawak this year is going to be kind of a 3-day event instead of 1 day. So,
yeah, I just bring it up because, you know, then we reach audiences that might not come in,
yeah,
you know, that because people will be wandering around. So it's not like they have to go out of their way to go to something. They'll be there already. So just food for thought if it turns out to work out.
The other thing that we haven't done, we haven't asked Tim about before, is recording his presentation. So I believe that it's been recorded in other towns. So that can be something that we do also, just to reach more people if they're unavailable. You know, September can get a little busy. So we can definitely ask him about that also. All right, Nixie, I think you're good to go.
Okay, so I do want to start.
Nixie, you notice I'm using the cup that I got as a gift from.
There you go.
Coalition.
I do want to start off with the Madison Farmers Market. We are preparing for our first summer tabling event there this Thursday, actually. We will be there from 1 to 6 p.m. They do hold this event every Thursday at the same time frame. So we have built a schedule aiming to participate at least twice a month. So we would love to get some volunteers to take on some shifts. Whether you can come and help, you know, an hour to 2 hours, that would be a great help. We will be sending out a sign up sheet with some time slots and the dates that we plan on participating. You don't.
And Nixie, I'm sorry, did they change where they have the farmers market? Did I hear that correctly? They were doing it at Dodge Field instead of Waverly Place?
Allison, I'm not sure if they've.
It's a Dodge Field.
It's a Dodge Field. Okay. So that wasn't a dream. I actually read that. Okay.
Yeah. It's works real well there. There's a lot more room.
Yeah.
So the timesheet, yeah, we'll have all the details once it's sent out, and then we will have specific time slots on them. But you know, if you cannot fulfill, you know, all those hours, that's fine. You can send me or Allison an email. But any help would be great. We are gathering some of our resources, and we've been in the talks about providing maybe some new giveaways. In the past, we've done pens, bracelets, highlighters, most recently like hand sanitizers, but we'd definitely love to add more. An example, like an idea that we had, was possibly like sunscreen now that we've reached like summertime, or chapstick. Does anyone have any suggestions on what we could possibly add into the bags, aside from, you know, our resources that we provide?
Or I think sunscreen's a great idea. And the only other thing I was thinking about is maybe like small beach balls.
Mm. Yeah, we talked about Frisbees maybe too. Those little mini Frisbees, maybe for a national night out also, but I like beach balls. Hawaii's done beach balls before too.
Water bottles are always a big hit too.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone comes up with anything, feel free to email us. That way we can, you know, take a look at them, possibly put some orders in so we can kind of just fill up our bags to give away.
Keychain. With the MCC logo on it.
Yeah, those are some great ideas, just so we can have something kind of like new to give out. But I'm gonna move on to National Night Out. We are confirmed for Chatham Borough, Chatham Township and Madison. We will be having tables at all three events, which will be held on August 3rd.
Yeah, Project Community Pride is going to be sharing the table with you all, MCC. That'll be great. And we're actually doing Florham Park as well, so we'll be running around that night.
I'll just jump in real quick. Christine and I had a fantastic meeting yesterday over at Madison PD with Christine. Do you remember her? I always get her last name wrong. It's Stephanie.
Stephanie Aquino.
She is the community relations officer. She's a corporal, also a patrol corporal. She was great. It was our first time meeting her. She learned a lot about PCP and MCC, and is just she's fairly new to the position of community relations officer. Community policing is, you know, with the new chief, it's one of their priorities. So she had a lot of questions, and Christine was able to share a lot of information about Project Pride. And, you know, it sounds like they really want to get involved as much as possible. So we were even talking about maybe doing a September or October sector spotlight so that they can talk about, other projects that they're working on. She mentioned that they're trying to get out into the community for an event or something like that once a month, which is so fantastic. It's really great. So she shared for National Night Out, she's kind of heading up that committee. They're going to be going to different neighborhoods, similar to what Chatham Township has done in the past, to different neighborhood block parties. So 2 years ago, MCC provided drawstring bags when Detective Adam Riley was the juvenile detective. So we will do that again. We're definitely confirmed to have drawstring bags, put some of our materials in it, and Project Pride will put materials as well. But it's a fun night. It's going to be another thing that we're looking for volunteers for, but that's all I had about that.
Yeah, we'll definitely send out more sign-up sheets and then obviously follow up with any more updates. So I will move forward with social media. We have been inputting more onto our Instagram, where we do aim to continue targeting our audience with, you know, our coalition updates, sector updates, while also giving recognition to those who support our organization. Right now, we've actually set up a social media content planner. It does help us, you know, with planning, implementing, and just kind of monitoring our strategies. We do understand that, you know, things always come up, whether it's events, webinars. So we kind of try to stay on track. We try to make sure we're always an active presence to our followers. This involves, you know, designing posts, creating engaging texts, videos, and just staying in communication and collaborating with other team members. I just want to take the time, you know, to just kind of throw in there, if there are any projects, events, or campaigns that you may know about and, you know, think it's relevant to our organization, you know, we would like, you know, and would like us to help promote it. Or just be a part of it. You can always email me a link or any information for that. We'd be more than glad to help, especially within our community. That being said, please don't forget, you know, to give us a follow on Instagram and just subscribe to our website. We will be adding more updates as, you know, we continue to plan for, you know, our future summer objectives.
Yeah, I was going to invite you back to the Chatham Community Food Distribution. The people that came that day that you were there found that very helpful, because so many families have children who are, you know, in need of services. So that was very, very well received. So thank you, and hope you come back.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll definitely stay in touch with Reverend Marquet. I'll send him an email this week and figure out, you know, with our schedule, how we can kind of come back, maybe even include Masa again and Mac, and seeing how we can collaborate again together.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
June 30th is the Celebration of Diversity, Madison and the Chathams.
Yes.
I'm not sure, I don't want to send the wrong message by having the only table there be a substance abuse table, but you know, Len, you have a better, you know, how, what the setup is for this whole thing is. Do you think this would be appropriate if
Yeah, they're starting to talk about whether they will have tables because they were thinking back to the Black Lives Matter rally where there were some tables. And it's that exact issue that you mentioned, Trace, Stacy, whether you have tables and then you have to open it up to everybody having a table and you're on a field and might it detract from the purpose of the rally. So it's still under discussion.
The League of Women Voters was going to reach out and see if we could set up a voter registration table at that event.
I'm sorry, what event was this?
This is a diversity rally that is being held on Wednesday, June 30th at Lum Field in Chatham Barrow. So it's near, it's on the south parking lot of the train station, that field that's there. Runs from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and it's meant to showcase the diversity of the Chathams. You know, interestingly enough, a woman who is or was the chair of the Environmental Commission, Kate Murphy, had left Chatham at the beginning of the pandemic because her husband is immunocompromised and subsequently developed cancer and was treated up there. And just came back to Chatham last Friday for just a week's visit now that COVID is on the downswing and they're all vaccinated. And she came to visit me and I asked her, you know, I see Chatham every day, but she didn't see it for almost 18 months. I said, what's the biggest change you see? And without missing a beat, she said, I'm amazed at the diversity in just a year and a half. And a lot of other things. And the fact that her road finally got paved after 10 years. But diversity was very big on the list. And I can tell you that that's true. I do, as you know, a lot of walking and you see it. And it's just great to see. And it's great to celebrate it.
Thank you. I took a note of that. That way I could possibly maybe kind of stay in touch with someone as well.
Yeah. Email me, let me know so I can pass it on.
Okay, thank you. And Allison, if you want to go ahead and move forward for the spotlight.
Does anyone, before we move into the presentation, does anyone, you know, I want to go around to other sectors that we have in attendance. If anyone wants to share what's going on in their sector, if they have any updates, that would be great. We can do that now instead of at the end of the meeting.
I just wanted to let the committee know that Township is going to do a second ordinance related to cannabis. The concern was that even though, you know, the ordinance prohibits, it's a zoning ordinance that prohibits those different businesses from being in the township, but people can always request a variance. And there was a concern that through the variance process, that businesses could come in, even though it would be a high bar to, you know, to kind of surmount, there is still a sentiment. So the ordinance, I could share it. It's not going to be on this. I have to check if it's going to be on the schedule this week, but it focuses on the policing regulations. And it's really just meant to strengthen our ability to keep out marijuana, you know, cannabis related businesses.
Great. Thanks, Stacey. And I should mention, I forgot to mention in the updates, we will be having a meeting later today working with the Chatham Borough Board of Health. We're going to be, Lisa DeRosa, who's not on in this meeting right now, but MCC member, immediate past president of the Chatham Borough Board of Health. We are going to be, sorry, a bird just flew into my window and dropped it down. That's really sad.
Drop money, you said?
Dropped to the ground, but he got up. He just got up and is now sitting on my grill. So I hope he's okay. Sorry for the distraction. we will be meeting later today with Chatham Township, Chatham Borough, Stacy Len, who else? John Hoover, Bob Weber, and Lisa. To talk about cannabis related issues that these towns, you know, steps that we can take in the next 5 years during this 5-year moratorium. So we're also going to be talking about other town related issues such as signage, what kind of education we can provide to the community. So we're going to be having that meeting later on today and, you know, discussing the potential of creating a task force around this issue. And then at that point, we would open it up to additional stakeholders. So I look forward to reporting back on that at our July meeting as well. So I just wanted to throw that in while Stacey was talking about that. Any other sectors that want to share updates?
I just wanted to thank Christine for the help she gave me for that 10-year-old child who was having some real issues with readjusting back to school. And that was very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Len. I'm glad I could help. Thanks.
Anything else from Christine or Tracy? Anything else, Project Community Pride, that you want to share?
You know, our work with you on National Night Out, obviously in August, and then we are advertising for summer groups for middle school and high school kids. So we're still taking, applications for any kids who want to join that group. So if anyone knows anybody, that would be great. So that's middle school age and then high school. So and we'll be starting that in July.
Great. All right. If anyone else doesn't have anything that they want to share, I'm going to go into our presentation for today, which is just focusing on summer planning. So we typically do a 6-month or a 9-month check-in. We sort of check our progress against our 12-month action plan. Everything got pushed back a little bit this year, just being on leave and a couple other things, pandemic. So we're just going to do this now. We're going to do this now and sort of use this as a guide for the remaining 3.5 months of this grant year. So I put together a presentation because I just wanted to have it all, you know, easily accessible so that we can have it and refer back to it. So a lot of this stuff we already know, but actually one of our goals is to do some more education on the goals and strategies for the DFC program. So I'm taking that opportunity to check it off our action plan list right now. So let me just go ahead and share my screen. Okay, can everyone see it?
Good. Yes.
All right, so we have, there's just going to be 3 parts to this. So we'll just quickly review our action plan, our goals and our strategies. Then we'll talk about some things that we have accomplished this year. And then we'll move into our prioritizations for the remainder of the year. So as everyone knows, we are funded by the Drug-Free Communities Support Grant. And all DFC coalitions are required to complete 2 goals. So we are, our first goal is to establish and strengthen community collaboration. And that's where our capacity building comes in, creating new relationships with community members, making sure that we have 12 sectors of the community engaged in all that we do or in different things that we do. And then our second goal is to reduce youth substance use. For our coalition in particular, in our communities, we focus on marijuana, alcohol, and vaping. So we build our strategies and our actions around those 2 goals. So as we've talked about, CADCA has 7, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, CADCA, they have 7 strategies that coalitions are supposed to employ to reduce substance use and to build capacity in our communities. So the first 3 strategies, providing information, enhancing skills, and providing support, are individual strategies. So those are things that we do on basically on a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-10, 20, 50, 100, 200, on that level. The remaining 4 strategies, reducing access, enhancing barriers, changing consequences, changing the physical design, and then modifying and changing policy. Those are all environmental strategies, and that's really what we want to focus on. That means that the entire population of a community is affected by the change, by the strategy, regardless if they want to be or not. It's an environmental level change, community population level change, which is what we're striving for. But you can't do those, you can't make those changes without starting with the individual strategies, those first three. So when you look at our action plan, which was shared with everybody at the beginning of the year, it's that large, like 6-page document that has a lot of tables and things like that. If you look at our goals, so our first goal is to establish and strengthen community collaboration. Within those goals, there are objectives. There are SMART objectives, called SMART objectives. You know, a lot of people know what SMART objectives are, but you know, they're measurable. You know, they have a time limit on, you know, when you can attain that goal, when you're supposed to attain that goal by. And then within the objectives, there are our actual actions, which we'll get into in a second. So you can read through these objectives. These relate back to our first DFC goal, which is to establish and strengthen community collaboration. So for our objectives, we're looking at fortifying our infrastructure. We want to increase participation in our sector. We do that by making sure that we have all of our 12 sectors engaged with coalition involvement agreements. We like to have as much participation from our various sectors at meetings or volunteering for events and things like that. The second objective is to make sure that, you know, do everything that we can to ensure that our coalition members are knowledgeable. So that's what I was talking about, why I'm going through all of this, because any opportunity that we have to educate coalition members about the strategic prevention framework process, it's always going to be a good opportunity. As dense sometimes as it is, it's just always good to go back to it, because it's our guiding principle. So our second objective is to increase the number of members who think, you know, who report that they're knowledgeable about what we do. And we can, we track that by our coalition survey, which we completed, I think, in January or February of this year. And then lastly, we collect and review needs assessment data, and then we update our logic models and our needs assessment. So we will be doing that this summer. We'll go into that when we talk about our goals for the remaining few months. But these are really our driving objectives to hit our first goal. And then our second, yeah, okay. So staying with our first goal, I just want to briefly touch on some of the accomplishments that we've had this past year. We have to submit a progress report every 6 months to the DFC. So a lot of this is reported in that progress report, but I just wanted to touch briefly. So we worked with the Methodist Church in Chatham to distribute materials during their food drive. We partnered with Mutual Morris on their solidarity market, and again, gave materials. We've had sector spotlights at MCC meetings that have included Morris County Prevention is Key, Partnership for Drug-Free New Jersey, Project Community Pride, Task Force. We've recruited new teen task force members. Just this past week, we digitized our recruitment folder and all of the materials that are in our recruitment folder so that we can share these materials virtually if somebody can't make it to a meeting. We partnered with PCP on their efforts for the Madison High School Day of Service. So these are all accomplishments that really relate back to that first goal. We're looking every opportunity we can to build capacity. So the things that the event that Len and Stacy were talking about, that's always going to be a good opportunity, you know, if tables are appropriate. It's always going to be a good opportunity to get in front of community members and make sure that they're aware of the work that the coalition is doing so that we can engage more people in our efforts. You know, just talking with Stacy and Len about potentially getting in front of the borough council and the township committee to talk more about what the coalition does and what the alliance does. That's another opportunity to build capacity.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very good idea, Allison, because, you know, when folks hear MCC, MAC, PCP, Project Community Pride, not the drug, you know, they just kind of like, well, they're separate, but they're alike, so they really don't understand, so it's a great idea.
Yeah, we definitely, we have a presentation that Kelly Loofborough put together and Marilyn put together. So, you know, we always make tweaks to it, but we always have that available, and it's just such a good opportunity to get in front of people. So we'll try and for that in the next few months. So now moving on to our second DFC goal, which is to reduce youth substance use, which is a pretty big goal, right? So the way that we measure our success there is we look back at our student survey. So we look to increase perception of risk of marijuana use. We look to decrease 30-day past use of marijuana. We want to increase perception of parental disapproval of alcohol. And we want to decrease perception of ease of access to alcohol. So these are, three of those are our four core measures that, you know, that we ask questions about during the student survey. And we have to quantify the percentage points. That's a requirement of the DFC. So we will, you know, when we do our next round of the student survey, hopefully in the fall, you know, this is where we'll go back and we'll look to see how our percentage points have changed. Obviously, taking into account the crazy environmental factors that are coming into play this past year and a half. But, you know, this is where we compare that data and we look to our actions to then drive, you know, all of our efforts as a coalition and the things that we're going to do.
Allison, does that is that really just to tweak the process? Because I guess I would worry based on the pandemic and the impact and the, you know, now that everybody's opening up, I'm guessing use is going to increase. So does that impact the ability to get funding? Or is it really just to help, revise programs?
Yeah, so basically the way that it works, all coalitions have to participate in it's the National Cross-Site Evaluation. It's a requirement of our funding. But the way that it's been explained in the past year, when coalitions have been, you know, really nervous about not being able to collect quality data, all coalitions submit their data. So like if we're submitting data for 3,000 students across two school districts, you can have another coalition in a rural part of Kansas that's submitting, you know, 50 data points. What happens is all of the data gets put together from all 720 coalitions in the country. And then that data is basically just used to appeal to Congress to continue this DFC funding. So, you know, I've had conversations with my project officer, and I know probably every coalition in this country has, about really being concerned. You know, we were supposed to survey at some point this year, which we're still in our time frame, but it's impossible to get into a school to survey, you know, with this past year, with virtual and all these other issues that come into play. And the response from the DFC has been, do your best, try and survey a smaller sample size. You know, they're not as concerned about the quality of the data. They just need to have the data so that they have something to submit to make sure that this funding continues at federal level.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I would not, and I'm sure Epiphany will tell us this, I wouldn't look at the data that we're going to collect in September or October, whenever we're able to get in and do the survey. I wouldn't take that data and compare it, you know, with a fine tooth comb to what we've done in the past, you know, two go arounds. I think that there's too many environmental factors that are just simply going to skew the data. But regardless of that, we will still see that marijuana and alcohol and vaping are our most widely used substances. But we know that bottom line is most definitely not going to change, or most likely not going to change. So it'll still drive our efforts to focus on those today. We'll just have to modify what we're doing.
Yeah, so that just brings me to another question. Given that you're relying on federal funds, Do we invite somebody from Mikey Sherrill's office to be in these meetings so that they know what you're doing, what you're dealing with?
They always, when we receive our continuation grant in September, August or September, a representative from her office always reaches out to congratulate us and to let us know that we've received the funding. So I haven't invited her to a meeting in the past. I think that that's a good idea though, and maybe even to see if she would want to speak to, you know, what the process looks like for her, you know, just with appropriations, and how, you know, the process that this funding goes through. I think that would actually, to me, that's very interesting. And it's something that she could talk to. When we went to the conference in DC last year in February, we actually went, coalition coordinators went to the Hill and met with her staff to appeal to them to bring it to Congress and make sure that the funding was intact as part of the, you know, as part of that package last year. So we've done that, you know, we're able to do that. So it would be nice to have the other end of that, maybe for a coalition meeting. I like the idea of that. That could be really interesting.
Yeah, and I know there's folks, but if they're invited to, you know, a special meeting or once a year or something, you know, to make that connection.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I think we should definitely shoot for that in the fall, maybe. When they reach out, maybe to congratulate us, hopefully, when we get our funding again, we'll say, well, you know, why don't you come and talk? Okay, so these are just some accomplishments based around our second goal of reducing substance use. So, you know, we collected in October of this year, this past year, we collected over 75 pounds of prescription drugs and gave out over 60 doTERRA packets as part of National Take Back Day. We've recorded podcast episodes. We created our virtual backpack with MASA that lives on our website. Back in November, we hosted that the Prevention Technology Transfer Center training that was focused on marijuana policy. We did one sticker shock. We're coming up on one more sticker shock. We've done Instagram takeovers. I mentioned the letter to the editor. Again, we did the graduation bag for Chatham High School, where we put the prevention materials in. We've sent out 38 weekly Roundup newsletters. I don't think we've taken a week off of the weekly newsletter since April of 2020. So that's been really been churning the past year and a half. And then we also provided life skills curriculum and supplemental prevention materials to Project Pride. So these are just some of the things that we've done in relation to that second DFC goal. But all of that being said, we still have a lot of work to do for the remainder of this grant year. I was talking with Gwen last night and I was going through our action plan and I said to her, boy, it doesn't seem like we've done much of anything this year, but talking about it makes me, you know, no, we have. It's, you know, there's just a lot going on for everybody. So I broke this down into our strategies, so our seven strategies, and just kind of prioritized what we want to do across the seven strategies. So as I'm going through these, I ask that you just kind of like think about something that you might want to get involved in. And then we'll talk about that on the last slide. So providing information. This includes things like tabling or putting materials together and giving materials out at events like National Night Out. We have a lot of those coming up now that things are starting to reopen again. We have 8 Madison Farmers Market dates through September on the calendar. We have Fishawak, where we'll focus on cannabis education. We have Bottle Hill Day, where we'll focus on cannabis education. We have back to school nights. We have coaches night. So there are a lot of opportunities to make sure that we're providing information to community members. That's always kind of like the easy one. I don't like to say easy, but it's the most attainable because, you know, we can put a bag together and just put our material in it and people get it, you know, if they're willing to take the bag. For enhancing skills, this is where we focus on our data collection. So this summer, we want to focus on doing some more key informant interviews with people like Project Community Pride clinicians, the juvenile detectives in the borough and the township, the narcotics detective in Madison. We want to do listening sessions with youth. We want to do focus groups with faith-based people and, you know, YMCA program directors, people like that. We're going to be rolling out a new community survey at not this farmer's market, the next one. So working with Epiphany to ask some different questions at our community survey. So those focus more on parents. So parent perceptions and parents' perception of ease of access. When we talk about enhancing skills, we're going to be hosting Hidden in Plain Sight again. We're going to record more podcast, hopefully one more podcast episode this year. And then also, like I said before, we're going to be providing a cannabis professional development for high school PE and health in Chatham. So those are all enhancing skills. Then we talk about providing support. We want to be offering teens more opportunities to have other outlets aside from, you know, going to a party on a Friday or Saturday and partaking in risky behaviors. So we want to collaborate with the Y on teen programming. We were able to do a lot of that, you know, in the past. You know, with when Kiana was the associate teen director, we were able to do things like partnering on teen scene on Friday nights and making sure that our materials were included in seventh grade initiative packets. So we want to get back to that in the next few months. We want to do a photo vision project with the teen task force, which I'll talk more about that at our next meeting. But that's another goal of ours for our, you know, that could be a first project for the teen task force in September or August. When we talk about reducing access and enhancing barriers, those are interchangeable. We can also reduce barriers and enhance access. But we do that by one of the ideas that we had, again, right before lockdown happened, when Gwen and I met with the Madison Interfaith Council. We talked about partnering with the Baptist Church in Madison to do a take back then at their church. The issue around that is that there has to be law enforcement present for that, because it's a security issue with the prescription medication that's collected. I want to do more research on a safe homes directory for a 2021 rollout. So really giving parents the opportunity to indicate that they are a substance-free home. We know just in conversation, we know that there are families that have indicated that they are substance-free. So to be able to get those families together and to let them talk to one another and make sure that they're all, you know, that they feel support between one another. There are towns in New Jersey that have successfully rolled out a safe homes directory. So I just would like to do some more research on that for the fall also. We want to train at minimum one alcohol retailer on the TIPS training, the responsible alcohol, responsible beverage training. So we'll look to do that in the next couple of months. We have our sticker shop coming up in July. And then our last three, strategies. So changing consequences. We have talked for a couple of years now about creating a specific sticker, like our marketed sticker for the alcohol retailers, with WeID language. So something that they can put in their door, you know, in their window that says that they ID and they support, you know, the prevention of underage drinking, something like that. We, after our meeting yesterday, Christine and my meeting with Madison PD, they talked a lot about, you know, different opportunities around getting to know a cop. So maybe, you know, talking more to them and figuring out more diversion opportunities for teens that are caught, you know, using marijuana or alcohol or any other substance as well. When we talk about physical design, last year we sponsored new signage in Chatham Borough that included vaping in, you know, at parks and the athletic fields. But now it needs to be updated again. Potentially, it needs to be updated again to reflect the new cannabis laws. So we would look to sponsor that again and take care of changing that signage. Also, something that Len mentioned at our last coalition meeting about these high traffic vaping and underage drinking areas, that, you know, one of which he noticed in Chatham Borough, So we would use our, we would do environmental scans in those locations. And then if, you know, if it's, if those are indeed hotspots, which it sounds like, you know, from what Len's experience was, they are, we would create permanent signage for there as well. Maybe that talked about the risks of vaping or, you know, alcohol consumption, et cetera, you know, but we have to do environmental scans before we can go ahead with signage like that. That's another way to change the physical design using that strategy.
Yeah, and that's an area, Allison, where the police can be helpful, mm-hmm. you know, because here in the borough, you know, the area that Kiwanis had cleaned up, which was red, at the steps of Red Road leading to Ogden Street by recycling. So it mm-hmm. was that area. You have an area at the end of Wilson Avenue, which is near Minisink. So they get into the woods. That's another area. Mm-hmm. The Riverside Trail is another area, and Kelly's Pond.
Right. Yeah, so we'll definitely, so this is gonna be on the next slide, but potentially doing, you know, getting as many different areas as we can with the environmental scans. So that then we can target those areas, you know, if law enforcement is doing party patrols or things like that, you know, we need that data so that we can direct people to those areas for prevention efforts. And then lastly, modifying and changing policies. This is the strategy that is, it takes the longest, obviously, to work towards. As we've gone through the strategies, they get more and more challenging for, you know, to work towards. But with modifying and changing policies, with everything around the new cannabis laws this year, it's, you know, in the next 2 years, 3 years, it's really where our efforts are going to be focused. So we wrote our policy paper, which I'll share after this meeting, but MCC wrote a policy paper outlining best practices for adult use cannabis, and then also, excuse me, things to consider for youth as well, and the reasons why we don't want it in our community. And then also, as I mentioned, working with local government to potentially establish this cannabis task force where, you know, a lot of support will be given to community members and other, everyone in the community, basically, around this issue. So lastly, the last slide is our next steps. And this is where you all come into play. So here are just a couple of different options for ways that you can get involved. You know, Nixie mentioned several volunteer opportunities with all of the farmers markets that we're going to be tabling at, National Night Out in three towns, back to school night, all these things. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to table at an event. If you're not comfortable tabling at an event, we always will need help prepping for those events also. Stuffing bags, you know, getting giveaways ready, bagging stuff like that up, so that it's ready to go when we when we're at these tables. So that's one option. Another option is helping to collect the data. So we, a couple of years ago, did a, Epiphany led a key informant and focus group facilitator training. So we have access, I believe we have access to that slideshow. So if you're interested in talking with our key informants and helping to collect data that way, if you're interested in coming to a table and just trying to get the community survey taken by people, that's an opportunity there. You know, if data is your thing, this is going to be an opportunity for you. You can serve on an ad hoc committee. So we've had success in the past when we've put together smaller ad hoc committees. So not just a marijuana committee or a alcohol committee, but a committee based around a certain event or a certain initiative. So if you have an idea about back to school night or about Fishawak and you want to focus your efforts just on helping to plan that event or hidden in plain sight, something like that, we can put together ad hoc committees. You know, I'm very open to that idea as well. Another way to help is to explore match options. So this year, you know, we have our requirement to hit $125,000 a year in match or in kind. And where it's gonna be a struggle to meet that number. So we need to think creatively about what we can do to hit that number. So for an example, in 2018 and 2019, we worked with law enforcement in Madison to provide us with the dates and number of officers and, like, I don't know what else they included in their spreadsheet. Basically, they gave us all the events that they worked at, sporting events, prom, graduation, where they were contracted to be there by the schools, and they were there to help prevent or spot underage drinking or drug use. So we then take all of that time and that money, and we count it towards our match goal, our in-kind goal, because the coalition isn't paying for the officers to be there, but it speaks directly to our mission. We can count those hours. So I just confirmed with Detective Shannon the other day that they're going to put together that spreadsheet again this year. So that's going to be very helpful. But we need more opportunities like that. We need to think very creatively about other ways that we can hit our $125,000 requirement. One other example real quick that I thought of, last year we counted, because we sponsored the bags for the graduation gift in Chatham, the PTO also handed out lawn signs and t-shirts. So because we were part of that effort and they included us in the materials that went out, we counted the cost of those bags and those shirts towards our in-kind. So these are things that are approved by our project officer, but they're just ways that we had to get very creative about how we reach that in-kind number. So maybe that's something that really interests you. We need all the help that we can get in exploring those match options. So that's an opportunity. And then lastly, helping recruit members. We're always looking for new members. Spreading the word about the coalition, doing a virtual introduction is very helpful also. The more people that we have, the more engaged people that we have, the more progress that we can make in getting these actions all accomplished for next year. Rosella, I saw that you did the little hand raise thing. So do you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, because when you create the podcast and make those, you can certainly count the time that's involved in the creation of it. Is there any way to monitor or count the time when people watch them? Is that something you could add to the, the number? I mean, just by the number of times, because there's some sort of a record about the number of times that people watch it in a given time frame.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah, so we can count. So unfortunately, I asked this last year. We can count the time for the person that's being interviewed. We can count, if we're using any material, if we're borrowing any materials or anything like that, and we can count the time that the interviewee is preparing their materials. But unless it's a coalition member that's listening, that's like donating their time to listen to the podcast as part of like a training, we can't count just like a random person listening to it. We can't count that. I did ask about that. So that's a good thought. But like thinking that way, that's what's very helpful. We were instructed last year because so many coalitions are in this position of how on earth are we going to reach our match number when we haven't had meetings and we count meeting space for in-kind. We haven't, school hasn't been in session in person, in some areas for a good portion of the year. So we couldn't count SRO time. There's all these things that we haven't been able to count. And the response from the DFC has been to get creative. So I don't think that we're going to get audited, but obviously we want to be, it's better to be safe than sorry. And we want to make sure that we are hitting that $125,000. So if anyone has any other ideas, we have 3.5 months to hit that number. So I'll give a report at our next meeting on where we stand year to date. And, we'll definitely have our work cut out for us. But so that's all that I have for my presentation. Does anyone right off the bat have anything that that they want to add or that they think that they would be a good fit for right off the bat.
So Allison, I had another question about the Teen Task Force. How many students were actually involved across the course of the year in the Teen Task Force?
Kiana, eight. Kiana, I don't know if she's still on here.
Okay. Yeah, I am. Yeah, like seven or eight.
Yeah.
So that's good. So you have a core moving on. So the ones who graduated, you know, they've trained others moving into it. I would really hope that one of the things we might want to do is reach out and have a goal of maybe doubling the size of that teen task force. And maybe because I think that it could certainly function effectively with, with double that number. You don't want it to be too big because then you lose the individuality of it. But I think it's really important to try emphasizing, recruitment in the middle schools, and that counts as hours when you're sending people out to do recruitment or, at their open school evenings and events and things like that. It might also be useful just to put some signs in the schools, post in the cafeteria area or in other areas where kids congregate, and informing them that if you want to join the team task force, here's the information. And, and even I would say put a QR code on it so that they can just click it with a phone. Mm-hmm. I think it gives us a multiple opportunities because it certainly is recruitment, but it's also information, letting others know that the task force exists.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely going to be a focus for sure. In the fall, we've done different recruitment. We've tried different recruitment strategies in the past. And one of the things that we're going to try to do this year too is work with the teen director at the Y on, now that camp is back in session this year, their LIT program and their SummerQuest camp, which is sixth to 10th grade, Kiana? Yeah, sixth to 10th grade as well. So maybe trying to do a recruitment event in person instead of just trying to like get materials out to them as well.
Yeah, and Allison, as I'm able to, I'm happy to help with staffing and set up, so.
That's great, thanks, Lynn.
So yeah, I'll do it in my spare time.
Yeah, right. we always have, let me stop sharing my screen, hold on 1 second. We usually create doodle polls for all of our volunteering opportunities. So we've created one. Nixie is going to send it out after this meeting. We're going to be sending one for farmers market signups and also for Sticker Shock. So Sticker Shock is a great, easy volunteer opportunity to just come in, stick some stickers on cases of alcohol. And it's nice to just kind of see people in person also, and to be able to engage with the retailers as well. One thing I will say too about the doodle polls, I think we do them in like 2 hour increments, the shifts, but if you're unavailable for the entire shift, you can always, whatever you're available for, if you can only do an hour, if you can only do 45 minutes, all of that counts towards our match requirement. So, and we want to see you. So whatever help you can offer, for volunteering is great. So no amount is too little.
I would include in some way the audience for the newsletter, because there are people that are not coming to the meetings that might be willing to volunteer. Mm-hmm. We've had that in the past. So just let them know.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm also thinking about the 12 different sectors that and maybe on one of your weekly newsletters, you know, just again listening to everybody, the, you know, these are the 12 sectors that and that you know, that you can be involved with. I think that in terms of recruitment of members, that outreach is always important. And I'm also thinking about the podcasts that have already been created. It's nice that they reside on a website, but I think that also it might be useful to highlight each one of those podcasts again, rotating over the number of different newsletters that you put out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nixie, we can start including them in, you know, we can do one a month or something like that, or just to sort of rotate them back in.
Yeah, I think that's useful because they have a life, and you know, and they keep people aware and involved. And the other thing is that it doesn't hurt to have tap into and patch and the Sinclair Group, you know, newspapers, you know, rotate articles among them so that across the course of the year that we hit each one of the different periodicals with a different story. Because mm-hmm. I think lots of people read them all, so you don't want to, you know, hit it all at the same time. But I think rotating it, and I would feature something that each of the sectors is doing as a story across those publications. I think a lot of people do read them virtually as well as in print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
In terms of the broader presentation, I guess I would also ask if there's things that are being done in Madison or Chatham Borough that all, you know, or Chatham Township that we, you know, think about how we can expand it into the other communities. So when you talked about Chatham Borough and the signs, you know, I can think of areas already where those signs might be useful. So is that connection, the police chief that, how did that discussion start? Did it come from the police chief, or did it come from?
We started with the signs in Chatham Borough last year. We had been talking about it with Mac for a few years about updating the signage, and then I'm trying to think of like the exact process. I think, and then I was put in touch with Steve Williams, and then Steve and I communicated about it was just replacing like. We weren't talking about any new locations. So it was just replacing the signage. So working with the Board of Health, the attorney, and then certain council members and Steve. And we went back and forth and we finalized the hardest part was finalizing what the language was going to be. And then we just went through, you know, we the coalition went through our vendor and we got the signs taken care of. But certainly, you know, we would want to include Chatham Township and Madison if there's a need there as well for additional signage or updating signage. We do the environmental scans. We do in all three towns. So we'll be looking for locations there as well.
Yeah, because I remember the replacement signs, and I thought I had mentioned it back to our administrator, and the thought was that our signs were where they needed to be. You know, not where we're comprehensive, but you know, certainly I'd be curious if you're changing the language to see that and then to submit it and see if it's something that would be useful. But also if you're looking at these new locations, when you're talking about these hotspots, there's definitely not anything right now in the hotspot. So I definitely would want the township included in that, you know, assessment and consideration signage.
So what is the message on the signs? What does it say, the text?
It varies. I mean, New Jersey Prevention Network has some, they have some language that they've put together. The thing though, that the brakes have kind of been pumped a little bit because it's unclear. I mean, in most areas, cannabis is included, combustible cannabis is included in the Clean Air Act, right? For New Jersey, but edibles are not. So it's still a little bit unclear kind of what the language needs to be all inclusive of all forms of cannabis.
Well, and I think that was a sentiment that the existing signage says this is a smoke-free environment. So it would cover, you know, the combustible marijuana. I guess we would need a separate ordinance to prohibit edible, you know, marijuana in public properties, which, you know,
and oil, well,
different legislation that we don't have in place and mm-hmm. have considered.
Yeah, and New Jersey Prevention Network is they're heading up this impact policy task force, and they are starting to create a portal for municipalities to like put the, you know, basically to house the different ordinances that they're writing around these different issues. So, you know, to be able to pull from it and see what each town, what their language looks like. For each town. So I don't think they've shared that link yet. I think it was brought up at the last task force meeting. So then once that's shared, I'll share it with you all as well.
I mean, I would assume any field or like or colony pool where they prohibit alcohol, you want to prohibit marijuana in any form, even though those areas are already smoke-free. So yeah, I got to push back on that again. I feel like we have to layer all these additional ordinances to catch all these things.
Right. And, you know, the problem too is that everything is changing so quickly that right as you get a grasp on something, it changes again. And what you wanted to change it to is moot at that point, so.
So I'm curious, there wasn't anything related to advocacy with, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, at the state level for legislation. So where, you know, our police officers' hands are tied and following up on children underage use, is that not part of the MCC's mission is advocacy at or legislative? Well, you do at local level.
Local, yeah. I mean, because DFC's focus solely on our local conditions, that's kind of where, and then, I mean, yeah, that's where our efforts are focused, but you would hope, well, I mean, also with the cannabis laws, you know, like I mentioned at the MAC meeting, there is such a push right now for local control. So there are going to be things that are going to be mandated at a state level, but we still don't really know what that's going to be based on the regulatory commission. So it's hard to even say like what at the state level is going to be decided and then what towns are going to have control over. So it's hard to even then know where to focus our efforts. But yeah, we, for the most part, the coalition focuses on our communities.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you all for hanging in until the end. Oh,
thank you. I'm off to my next Zoom. So I'll run down and get a quick cup of coffee and sit through the next Zoom. I have 4 Zooms today.
Yeah, today's a busy day.
It's a busy day. Friday's even, you know, the
summer Friday.
Friday in June is generally like not busy. I have 7 Zooms on Friday. It's like.
Well, we'll see you later today, hopefully at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, you're one of my 4 Zoom calls today. you're number 1 and 3.
Awesome, good numbers.
Good exact right, the numbers at the racetrack. And I see Rosella's got her summer do. The heat has gotten to her. She got a.
Oh no!
She wants to be like me.
The next was going to be closer to Len's.
I mean, yesterday was wicked. It was gross.
Yeah. I'm moving around because both Jim and I are on different Zoom calls, and he's in the kitchen, and I was sitting in the dining room for a while, and his was too loud, so I moved into the living room again.
Well, thank you all so much for staying on. It was good to see you. I look forward to getting back in person with all of you. We will send out these minutes and the signups and everything. So just keep an eye out for those. So.
Thanks, and Allison, it's nice having you back, and we'd like to see pictures of those children now.
Yes, I will share the,
share.
I will definitely do that.
They're okay.
Being very quiet upstairs with Randy. So I don't know what's going on up there.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you all.
Bye, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are we the only two here?
Yeah.
Hang on 1 second. Let me see if she responded.
Still recording as well.
Oh, thank you.